thank the Lord for that. And I appreciate each person that had a part in the service tonight. And looking forward to getting in Colossians. And so if you want to turn your Bibles there to the book of Colossians, and we'll finish up. And you've got some sheets, or a sheet there, to give, take some notes on if you want. While you find your place in the book of Colossians, we'll start off in chapter number 1. I did hear this story. I don't usually tell a joke on Wednesday night, but I thought, boy, these crowd looks like they need it. So I heard about these, not because you're looking bad, just because you're looking drowsy. So that's what I... But I heard this story about, they had a business meeting, and this, the deacon said, in the business meeting, he said, "Well, I believe we need a chandelier in the church." And a couple of them said, "Well, I don't know. And the pastor said, "No, we don't need that." And one of them said, "Well, why not, pastor?" He said, "I don't understand." And they really thought that he would like it. He said, "Well," he said, "I don't think we need it." He said, "Number one, because when we went to order it, I don't think anybody would know here, would know how to spell it, because it sounds like a big important word. I don't think anybody could spell it when we go to get on Amazon or wherever." And then after we got it here, he said, "I don't think that any of us would know how to play it." And then he said, "For the third thing, and the most important reason, we don't need that near as much as we need some new lights in here." So that was that pastor. You got to watch him every time. So we're looking at Colossians, and I was a little afraid, and I want to give this wrap-up lesson, because we've been going through the book of Colossians. We've missed some Wednesdays because of special guests and different things happening, but I want to conclude here as we look through this book, because I didn't want us to get through the book of Colossians, then I say, well, we had good lessons, but what does it all mean? And we're going to see the preeminence of Christ is the theme all the way through the book of Colossians. If you look, I said in chapter 1, look at chapter 2 first, in verse number 9. We're going to see the key verses here. Chapter 2, verse number 9. "For in him," the Bible says, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." The Bible says in chapter 3, verse number 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth." And so we see that in chapter 2, verse number 9, "For him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." It reminds us of who he is. And then if you're risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand. And we see the key chapter is chapter number 3, when it talks about the themes of Colossians all together, and showing their cause and effect. And because the believer is risen with Christ, therefore he's supposed to put off the old man, put on the new man, which will result in his holiness and his, in all of his relationships. And so what the whole premise of the book is, Christ is preeminent, meaning he's everything. And so unless we get our lives different than what the Word of God says that we are supposed to be, then you and I need to put him first place as well. So we're going to go through some of these tonight, and trust will be a blessing to you. So we're looking at chapter 1 now, verse number 15. "Who," Jesus Christ, "is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him," that's Jesus, "were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether it be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." And so we see here that everything has its origin there. Christ is the beginning of it. His preeminence, though, is establishing, or I'll show it here in just a minute when we get down to verse number 19, 20, 21, 22. We're going to see, though, that preeminence, he had the first place in everything, it establishes salvation. We see in verse number 19, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." Okay, we know that. "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." So we see that Christ's preeminence, it is established. It is what brings about this salvation. How does it establish salvation? Well, as we just read in verse number 20, he's made peace through the blood of his cross. And so the message of this good missionary we got to see tonight, but then also the one we got to see on the screen, is the message of the cross of Jesus Christ. And so you understand that without that message, message, then these missionaries and us pastors have nothing to speak of. We have nothing to proclaim, but that all comes from the root of the preeminence of Christ. He's preeminent in creation, verses 15 down to 18, and then he's preeminent in redemption, verses 19 down to 22, and we see that it establishes that. You see, because there are people that take the Bible and they'll chop it up and they'll look at some good aspects and they'll say, this is what we're focusing on. There'll be people who take the Bible and they'll say, look at all these biblical truths, or look at all these truths about finances. And there's plenty in there about finances. They'll look at some other thing about relationships. Look at all that's in there about this relationship, these relationships. And they'll form all their teaching about that. And there's plenty of teaching about relationships. But you understand that the theme of it all is that scarlet thread that goes all the way from Genesis all the way to Revelations, where it starts talking about when Satan was said that he's going to bruise your head. That prediction of Christ coming. And so this book, this New Testament book of Colossians, just puts it all in that Jesus is all in all. Not only that, we see also, though, he's not only does it establish that salvation, but then look in verse number 23 of chapter 1. We see the Bible says, if ye continue in the faith. Now look at the next word, grounded. Grounded and settled. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard. Now, some might say, okay, well, that means that we're not supposed to be moved away from the hope of the gospel, so we're not supposed to preach anything, teach anything except for the gospel. Just tell people how to be saved, and that's the last message that you give. And there are churches that pretty well do that. They faithfully give out the message of Jesus saves, and that's a wonderful message, but then they stop. Well, the scripture, though, says we're supposed to preach the whole counsel of God, meaning that we're supposed to give all of it. Now, you may not give it all on a Sunday morning for the first time somebody's ever stepped foot through the doors. You might save a little bit for a Wednesday night or a Bible study somewhere before you start talking about the toe of the beast of Daniel and all that stuff, because they'll be saying, what in the world is going on here? But you don't stop on any of it. So the scripture is not meaning when it says, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. It doesn't mean don't speak anything or above or beyond that. What it means is don't let that foundation ever get away from you. Meaning don't go on some tangent and you forget about the purpose of why you're there. It would be the same as if you own a business. If you owned a business and you sold a certain product, well, you should do lots of things in that business. You should work on customer service, and you should work on your public relations. You should work on your advertisement. You should work on all the things that that business needs to thrive and to go forward. But do you know what the most important thing that you can do in that business after you decided what product you need to offer? You need to make sure you have that product that you're offering. And same it is with the church. Churches, there's seminars and there's conferences about how to be a welcoming church. There's different seminars that you can go to about how to do church finances. And there's seminars you can go to about all these other aspects of the church. And sometimes we get so busy on those peripheral things that we forget what the message of the church is. And that is to everybody who comes on this property, whether it's in a service or a vacation Bible school, or whether it's junior day camp, or whether it's whatever we do, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is presented to them, and it's our foundation. And that's when the scripture says in that verse, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. So Christ is preeminent. And I'm listing it as this in that verse, and we'll move on. He says, move not away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, where I'm Paul, made a minister. So I'm saying that Christ's preeminence, the fact that he is preeminent, is the antidote for heresy, or it's the prevention for heresy, because you are supposed to, in the first part of that verse, stay grounded and settled in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the hope of the gospel, that's what keeps us focused and able to recognize heresy when it comes. I don't know if you've ever done this or not before, but I've read some, or maybe I heard somebody on television, or I heard them on a podcast or something. And you may not know everything that's wrong with what they're saying. You can just tell something's not right. Something just doesn't fit right when you start hearing this preacher speak. Again, you don't have Bible, you don't have chapter and verse to give him, but you just know something's not right. Can I tell you what that is? That's a sign you've been in your Bible. That's a sign you've been learning the truth. I'm told that in order to guard against counterfeits, they teach folks that deal with all that money and try to keep away counterfeit money. They let them handle the real thing a whole lot because it just is different. Well, I just know there's a lot of different things going on out there. And if we don't stay grounded in the person of Jesus Christ and in the book that he has given us, then we'll be tempted to go in every wind of doctrine. The other day I was with a salesman and by anything, he didn't pressure me too much, but he said, here, and I had to write something out. And he gave me a Mont Blanc pen. Now, I told you I'd written with one before, but it had that little star on the top of it, you know, right there. This is not a Mont Blanc pen. This is a Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church pen. Much more valuable, of course. But that Mont Blanc pen, it had this little blue diamond up there on the top of it. Now, I'd written with one before like that, but it was a fake one. It was from the Jamaican Islands or somewhere that somebody had gotten for $10, and it just wrote a lot like a little Bic pen. Actually, it didn't write as good as a Bic pen. But now, when that guy gave me that Mont Blanc gave me, he loaned me with close eye that he wanted me to take it. He let me sign with that. So, man, this is nice. This is how the other half lives. I thought, wow, this is fancy. Well, I'd never written with a real one before. But there was a big difference. And I'm told again that that's how you are able to tell counterfeits when you know the best or the real thing real well. And I'm mentioning this tonight because when we put Christ in his rightful spot, and there is no other spot, he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Whether the world acknowledges him or not, they will one of these days. Every knee will bow eventually. But his preeminence is the antidote or the prevention of this heresy, because you keep going back to Jesus Christ and make sure that your study matches what he says in his word. And so we see that. Number three, we look at chapter 3. We're going to kind of skip through here because we don't have all night to come to the end. But we see in verse number 15 of chapter 3, we're going to see that Christ's preeminence, not only does it establish that doctrine that we're supposed to be, but it also helps us by giving us guidelines for life. Chapter 15, the Bible says in chapter 3, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ, again, that preeminent Jesus Christ, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I'm always amazed when people ask, I mentioned it Sunday, when people ask, well, what's wrong with, and they fill in some activity. Well, why can't I, and they'll fill in some activity. Well, how about we just do this? How about if you'd take Colossians chapter 3, verse number 17, and apply it to everything that you do? And see if you can put God's name, Jesus Christ's name, under every aspect that you get into. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So that time that you talk with your wife and you talk very sternly with her and you're not very compassionate and you're not loving as Christ loved the church and you're not being gracious or being a benefactor, are you doing that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? That time that you get sideways because somebody, they rightfully did you wrong. But you know what the scripture says, when somebody does you wrong, you're supposed to turn the other cheek. You know how you're supposed to respond, but we don't. We say, well, what I said was right, meaning correct, not right before God, but what I said was correct. How many of you understand that just because something's correct doesn't mean it needs to be said? Sometimes somebody may be struggling with something that maybe weight or something, and you know it's just not a good idea. You know it's a proven fact that ladies that gain a little extra weight live longer than the men who bring that up. Proven fact. Yes, it is. I'm telling you. Just because something is correct doesn't mean it needs to be said. And so, how about we put Colossians 3, verse number 17, to everything that we do, whatsoever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I can tell you this, it would lob off a lot of those conversations that we have. or it would stop them before they got to where they went to. And so we see that Christ's preeminence, it gives us guidelines. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, teaching and admonishing one another. But do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a wonderful litmus test. How about this? Before you say that big phrase that you want to tell somebody, give them everything you've got. Now, can I do this in the name of the Lord Jesus? Never mind. I don't have anything to say. So it gives us guidelines. Number four, I want to give you this one. We're looking back a little bit, chapter 2, verse number 8. But whether this is the best way to put it, this is just the way I worded it when I gave it to Stephanie to type. It combats a Pharisee attitude or a Pharisaical attitude. We see in chapter 2, verse number 8 again. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments or the principles of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, that's Jesus, dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you're complete in him, which is the head of the principality and power. And so he's saying in verse number 8 that you're allowing some of these traditions and some of these principles of the world. You're allowing this philosophy and this vain deceit. You're being spoiled through these things. They're robbing you because they're putting these things, these rudiments of the world or principles of the world. Instead of following Christ, you're following this. And sometimes even people in church, we're maybe the worst at it. We come up with all these guidelines that are further than the Bible ever said to go, but we hold them just like Bible, and we get Pharisaical in them. You know, the Pharisees had plenty of lists. They had list after list after list of things that you should never do, that you should always do, and they went further, much further than the Bible ever went. But when we continue to learn of Christ, and when we look and put him in his preeminent place, and we see that he is all that he is, where all the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth bodily, and that's who my allegiance is to. Not some, maybe it's a good standard that I have, maybe it's a good preference that I have, maybe it's something that I ought to put in my life, but let's be sure that we put Christ and his word first and all those other things afterwards, because traditions, they can be elevated to this unhealthy level where, wow, that's a good thing. I've told you the story before, but this lady, she fixed a ham for her husband, and she lobbed the end of it off and put it in another little pan. And he said, "Why do you do that?" And I said, she said, "Well, I don't know. That's just the way mom always did it." And he said, "Well, isn't that interesting?" And she said, I'm going to call her. And so she called her mother and said, "Mom, why did you do that? Because that's what I do." And she said, "Well, that's just the way my mom always did it. She just always cut that end off. I guess it was because of saving it for later. It cooks different. I don't know." Well, it just so happened that grandma was still alive. And so she said, "Well, I'm going to call her." And so she called the grandma of the first lady and the mother of the second lady. And she said, "Mom, why do I, because I know why I do, because you did, but why did you always cut the end of that ham off and cook it in another little pan? And was there some reason? Did that get that juicier or something like that?" And she said, "No." I said, "I don't know." And then she took her a while, but she remembered after a bit. And she said, "Well, when we were first married, the only pan I had was a small one. That whole ham wouldn't fit in there." So she said, "I used to always cut the end off of it and put another little pan that we had. And I guess after we got started, I just never quit." So there's some traditions that are fine, but you don't want to teach them as doctrines. And so what the scripture says here, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men. And then, of course, the rudiments of the world. And so when we keep Christ in his rightful spot, then we find ourselves staying away from that holier-than-thou attitude that we know what's best. No, the Word knows what's best. Let me give you that last in chapter 3, verse number 13. As we keep Christ, because of by him all things consist, in him all the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth bodily. Chapter 3, verse number 13, the Bible says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against you, against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Do you see how when we keep Christ in his rightful position? Now, folks, you don't have to think back long to remember who you are. Now, I understand. I'm thankful for the gospel, or for the truth of the gospel, that when you get saved, God then looks at you through the blood of Christ and you are seen as righteous because his righteousness was imputed to you. And that song that says, "What sins are you talking about?" I love to sing, I love to hear, I love all of those. But let's get real for a minute. You know who you are. Thankful God sees you through the love and through the blood of Jesus Christ, but you know who you are. You remember what you've done. So when we see these things, you know how sideways we get sometimes. Why would I find myself unforgiving to somebody when I know what all God has forgiven me of? Shame on us for being some Pharisees that are holier than thou and acting like just because my sin isn't quite so blatant as yours that I have the right to belittle you or you me. So an attitude of forgiveness must always be preserved. Why is that? Because of all that Christ forgave you of. So as soon as, and maybe that's why one of our problems, as soon as you get over the fact that Christ forgave you of all the things, then you'll start holding somebody else to an unhealthy standard. My friend, I'm just glad that I'm saved. Amen. I'm glad I'm forgiven. I've got enough stuff to say grace over for just myself. I don't have time to keep up with all of your things either. And I have to, as I'm the pastor, I've got to preach it as it comes through the word, as we come to it. Yes, that's true. But as far as on a personal basis, I don't have time to check up on you, and I hope you don't have time to check up on me. I've got enough to do to keep up on my own. And when we keep Christ in that preeminent position, it keeps us from that holier-than-thou, Pharisaical attitude that we're so prone to have. So we looked at it, chapter 1, verse number 23, I think we looked at it. The Bible says, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard. He says in that chapter 2, verse number 9, for in him, Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So when we wrap up the book of Colossians, you can say, what's it about? It's about the preeminence of Christ in all things. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelled in him. He wasn't part God, part man. He wasn't God-like. He wasn't having attributes of God. Yes, he did have attributes of God, but the reason he had attributes of God, because he was God. And so he was the fullness, all of it dwelt in him bodily. He was the God-man, 100% God, 100% man. And so when we look at Colossians, we see that in all things, he might have the preeminence. Father, thank you for the time to be in your book, this one book of your book. And Lord, thank you that we've gotten to study it over these weeks, months, I guess. And I pray, dear Lord, that it has helped us remember to keep him preeminent in everything. In our lives, in our families, in our church, our relationships, in everything we pray. And my friend, as the folks, ladies come to play something, if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to do business with the Lord. Maybe you're here this evening and you've been straying off, forgetting where you came from, thinking how dare so-and-so do something as bad as they did. It probably wasn't any bad as bad as what you did. You just didn't get caught at what they got caught at. May we realize that we've been forgiven much. Let's be gracious to other people. But that happens when we keep Christ in his rightful position. Would you go ahead and play, ladies? As God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to do business with him. If you're able to, would you stand together with us? And as we stand, we'll prepare to go here in just a little bit. But we'll stand in case anybody wants to get out and slip to the altar. You're welcome to pray. Pray the Lord would keep you with him in view. Maybe you're here this evening and you're not sure that heaven's your home. I've talked about Jesus Christ, the God-man, 100% God, 100% man, went to that cross to die for you. Died, was buried, and rose again some 3 days later so you could go to heaven when you die. If you're not sure that you're saved, not sure you know Jesus, your Savior, would you slip out and come and let me or somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be sure about that? Thank you. May look this way. Well, it's a joy to be in church on Wednesday night. Look around. I thought there wasn't going to be enough in here to pick a fight with. About 7:45, I thought, boy, it might just be a few of us. But a good crowd came tonight. Thank you for being here. We got the air conditioner fixed. I don't know if you noticed on Sunday night, it was a little warm in here. I noticed, that's for sure. But I didn't want to say anything to you. They say the power of suggestion is it can be a powerful thing. So I didn't want to make you more comfortable than you already were. But I think Brother David Hayes got it fixed for us. And so thank the Lord for that. But we're glad that you're here. Amy and I will be praying for you for the rest of the week. But do be praying for Sunday, praying God would work in a special way. I'm looking forward to it, and we'll have a good time together. I hope you get to meet Brother David Bennett before you leave. Maybe somebody get by and greet him. Thank you for being in church. God bless you. You're dismissed.